Welcome to Brand Appeal, where we talk about brand storytelling in the digital age. I'm your host, Shannon Peel, and today I talked with Max Gearson from Disrupt City about brand therapy. That's right, brand therapy. This is a really interesting conversation because Max goes deep into how to create a brand message, how to create brand identity, and connect with audiences by being relatable. Listener, if you want to create a brand that is clear about their messaging, connects with the right people, and is more than just a logo, this is the episode for you. But before we dive into brand therapy, I want to let you know about the Brand Appeal ebook that is available to you free on marketappeal.com. So just log into marketappeal.com, go over to Brand Appeal, and download the ebook where you will find out more about what brand storytelling is and get worksheets to help you get started on defining your brand story and telling it to the marketplace. Now, let's see what Max has to share with us. Maxwell, thank you so much for joining me here today on Market Appeal. And I've got one question for you. What is it that you want to be known for?
I want to be known for brand therapy.
Brand therapy. Okay. I want to know, what is brand therapy?
Well, Shannon, I'm so grateful to be here today. You are a woman and a leader who takes a lot of time and intention to serve our community, to gather the others and educate and be curious. And it's just really nice to be a guest on your show today.
Well, thank you very much, Maxwell. I really appreciate that. As you know, as solopreneurs, a lot of times we have no idea if we are making an impact. We have no idea if what we're doing even matters. And a lot of times our brains are telling us that no one cares and it's time that we shut down. So having feedback like that is very important to me. And I thank you very, very much.
But you're very welcome.
To take it back to you, though, what is brand therapy? Because I am really curious.
I think brand therapy strikes at the core of what branding is all about. Brands are not shiny objects. It's not a logo. It's not a website. It's not merch. It's not a this or a that. A brand is intention. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that people, specifically entrepreneurs early in their career, need to understand, or at least this is what I needed to understand, the right outcomes come from the right behaviors. Mm-hmm. It's not about having the right things. It's about making the right choices and growing into someone that can just read more of the map.
You're right. It is about understanding the map. It's understanding where all of the pieces fit. How are we going to get where we want to go, and exactly where is where we want to go in relation to where we are right now. The idea of a brand, and you brought up some really good points, because a lot of people, when they think brand, they think logo, website, colors, but that's just clothes that a brand wears. What is, like, when you think of a brand, it's their essence. It's their, I mean, I know a lot of people out there are going, you're cringing right now because I said that. But it really is an identity, because what we forget is that brands are companies and companies are entities on their own. They are not extensions of ourselves. They are their own legal being, especially if they're incorporated. So they should have their own personality, their own thing, because if you as a CEO, the point is that anybody can step into that role and the company remains the same. How do you help people to figure out what their brand should be saying?
If I can back up just a minute, Shannon,
I was
really digging what you were talking about. And I think really what you and I are talking about in community today is, how do we share this with our audience in a way that they can understand it? Mm-hmm. A brand is a squishy concept, but perhaps here's one way to think about it. people relate to brands the same way they relate to other human beings, which is to say we mostly just ignore them. But listen, listen.
I love that.
It's not because they're bad.
No.
It's actually a survival instinct in 2022. We are inundated that if we paid attention to every bumper sticker and billboard, you would just not ever get where you were going. So as a survival instinct, we've become accustomed to ignoring things. Again, not because they're bad, but it's just not for me. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I think your next question, Shannon, was like, how do we do that? We believe in agile. We have an agile method. And if you can think about a Venn diagram with three circles, one circle represents the truth of your audience. Who are they? What do they care about? Who else is competing for their time and their attention? How do they make decisions? What is their language? What is their psychology? The other Venn diagram, you can think about the truth of your own brand. What is true about my brand? Mm-hmm. Why do people buy from us? Why do people keep coming back? How are we different? How are we the same? And in that third Venn diagram, you can think about the truth of your industry, the truth of your competition. The easiest way is to draw these three circles and understand that your brand strategy lies in the exact center mm-hmm. of that diagram. And if you can answer this question, you don't need what I do at Brand Wolf, and you don't need what Shannon does at Brand Appeal. What one idea, what one sentence will describe to your audience something that is true about your brand, actually valuable to the audience, and differentiates you from the competition. If you have that, you don't need what we do.
Wow, because that is hard to do. That is hard to do. Now, I like to play with these types of ideas a lot because I believe that if we can put ourselves in difficult situations when we're writing these types of things, we can get a better understanding because we have to figure out, okay, so what are we going to put in and what are we going to take out? What matters? What doesn't? I mean, you're talking about a really packing a lot of things into one sentence. And it can be done.
Let's all remember that if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a very intelligent person. You know how to self-educate. You know how to learn and to find what you want. Indeed, that's why you're here. And the way you do that is just homework. Mm-hmm. I believe, Shannon, this used to be like an older tagline we used when we first launched. But what we promised our clients was to give them a competitive advantage
yeah.
over their competition. And what does that mean? If you come to Brand Wolf, I don't care what you do, we're going to make you work for it. Two, it is really about personal growth. Mm-hmm. So to do the market research, to study your competitors, to go deep on your own brand, that just represents a body of work that nobody makes. And if you choose to step into that work, the benefit is understanding who your audience is and really caring about them. It's studying the competitive landscape, because if your brand was a race car, it doesn't need to go 1,000 miles an hour. It just needs to go 1 mile an hour faster than everyone else on the track. So let's just sit back and see what they're doing mm-hmm. and learn from them about what to do and not do. And then when it comes to your own brand, I think most entrepreneurs suffer from fear-based communication. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the right thing is to say. So I say everything all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't leave out the right thing.
It's that fear of missing out, that complete fear of missing out. The yeah. idea that you have one chance with that person, one chance to say everything that you want to say, and that they are going to understand what you're saying, even though you don't know what it is that you're saying. It's
yes. And this is also the reason why people sometimes don't have great experiences working with marketing vendors. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have a hard time or bad experiences kind of buying marketing, and it's not the marketing vendor's fault. A lot of entrepreneurs are making emotional decisions about their marketing and advertising. As human beings, we just want to take a pill and have the problem go away. Yes. So let me just write a check. If I write a check to the web developer, they have to figure it out. And the figure it out and the real source of my tension is that I've been in business for X number of years and I don't know how to talk to my audience. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's a problem we all have because we can't read the label from inside the jar. Mm-hmm. Again, just to put just a fine point on the end of this, I think the reason and the real value that people get when they work with brilliant, empathetic, and generous strategists like you and I is that they can just read the whole map and they know what to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that drives the really great brands and the really great messaging. It's just the truth, but you have to work to get it. And if you do, that defines your competitive edge in your market.
You know, you're so on point, and I agree with everything that you were saying, because, you know, as I say, no one should tell their own story, including myself. When we are too close to our story, we don't know what to put in. We don't know what details to leave out because we know all the details. And as much as we can know our customers and as much as we can know what's important to them, we still kind of get that ego that gets in the way and says, well, yeah, but look at me, look how great I am. Or look at me, look at what I've done over here. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? Look at what you've done. You're sitting in this problem and you are looking for the solution. Here's some options. Why don't you consider what I have available for you?
Yeah. Yes. And it's not just what is the right answer, but first, how do we make it? Mm-hmm. How do we decide? I tell this story a lot, but it's a hiking analogy. And it's also why the title on my business card says brand Sherpa. When clients need help, they're lost.
Yes.
Like lost in the woods. And when they come to us, they're raising their hand and they're asking for something, but they're just asking for help in the only language they know how. If they knew to ask for strategy, they would. They obviously don't know that. So that becomes our responsibility to protect them. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is by not just telling them what they should do, right? But you're lost in the trees. You're too close to it. You just can't see your way out.
Yes.
So what do you do in that situation? If you find yourself in a ditch, stop digging, put your hiking pack down, grab the map, go climb the tallest thing you can climb to get out of the forest, to gain some perspective, to read the whole map. And the map is your brand, your audience, your competition. Mm-hmm. And from that vantage point, you will know what to do next.
Yeah. And there's so many channels, right? Because what we're talking about, you know, there's branding, and then branding works or basically goes into marketing, which then goes into sales. It's one big umbrella. You know, your brand story is everything from the minute you start defining your brand to your customer going out and telling everyone how wonderful you are. And your brand story is that umbrella over all of those pieces. And that umbrella, yeah, is a map of what you want. But it is a lot of work. So many channels nowadays. It's not like in the past where put in an ad in the newspaper, do something on the radio, do something on TV, maybe have a little bit of a seminar with customers, bring them in, go to a trade show. Those were all very expensive things to do in order to figure out where you were going to tell your story to people and engage with them. They were for very specific audiences and very specific purposes. And people understood, this is what you want, this is where you go. This is what you want, this is where you go. Today, it is not that way. there are so many different avenues in order for you to connect with your customers. And most marketing people out there only talk about what they know. And most of them are talking about digital marketing. And businesses don't understand. And the offline drives the online, and the online drives your offline results. It is a circle. There is multiple places to be out there. But how can a brand know where they need to be?
I want to answer that question by first asking you a question, Shannon.
Oh, okay.
You might know the answer, you might not. What is the difference between an expert and a genius?
Good question. I'm going to take a guess. This is a guess, folks. I don't know the answer to this question, but I would say an expert is very deep in their one thing and they understand it extremely well. Where a genius is someone that understands how to put all the little dots together and sees the bigger picture.
If I was grading that test, I would give you an A minus.
Ooh.
Which is great.
That's good. What did I miss?
You didn't miss. It was 90% there and you were driving exactly at my point. So you'll have to bear with me. My first muse in education was philosophy, and I identify as a Socratic. The difference between an expert and a genius is the expert knows everything and the genius is aware that they do not. So if you're listening to this podcast and if you're like, okay, this is great. Like, what do I do? Like, I'm lost. I'm trying to raise my hand. The number one thing I encourage you to do is decide to decide. Raise your hand and just acknowledge the fact that there's some tension in your sales and marketing ecosystem. Raise your hand and acknowledge that you are very aware of those symptoms, but you probably don't have optics on the exact cause. And you have to be willing to be willing to work with someone that has solved this problem before. So if you lose your keys, chances are they're on your dresser and not at the Camby in Vancouver. And the reason that you know that is because this is a problem you have solved before. You lose your keys all the time. They're usually on in the corner at the Camby by the jukebox, right? Right where you leave them when you're shooting billiards. But if you haven't solved this problem before, then you don't know where to look first. So as time goes on and you keep looking, you are now looking in further and further away places than where you began. So the lesson is to look in the obvious place first, but sometimes we don't know how to do that. But Shannon, people like you and I, we do. We just have to be honest with ourselves that we're having tension. We have very specific symptoms, but we need someone to help us read the label from outside the jar.
Yes. And even we need help.
This is true.
A lot of times people will say, well, I don't have to write out my story. I don't have to figure out what my story is because it's my story. I'll know how to answer the questions when people ask me. I'll know how to do this. But then they get to the interview and they don't answer the questions in such a way that is valuable, that connects with their audience, that connects with even, you know, the job interviewer or the potential customer.
It's about accuracy. It's about intention. It's about less, not more. A lot of times people come to us and they're scared to talk to a strategist because they don't want to be judged. But the truth is, it's not that you have bad stuff. And this is why I love my office as an analogy. It's just that you need to put things where they go. This is your headline. This is your tagline. Let's create a hierarchy of communication. Say this, then this, then this.
You know, I also find though, when people are small businesses and they go to someone who is a branding expert or a branding strategist who has been working in the corporate world and has now stepped out and done their own thing, what happens is they don't understand small business. It's a different entity. It's a different beast than a corporate brand. There are very similar things, But when it comes to a small business owner having to define their brand and create their brand and tell the story, it's very different than the structure of a corporate brand. What do you think the most important thing for a small business owner or a solopreneur to understand about their brand and what they need to know?
I think one of the core challenges just for consumers and the branding agencies is a perception about work and cost. And we've talked about it today, right? It's a lot of work. It can cost a lot of money. The cost might not be appropriate for a small business. And that is just true, right? We're all dealing with imperfect. There's just never a perfect scenario in a perfect budget and a perfect launch plan. It doesn't happen that way. So again, I think my advice to the small business is that you deserve good branding too. Mm-hmm. You deserve to be just as excited about your brand as the big guys. So the number one thing I would avoid is sprinting off in the wrong direction. Yeah. Find someone that can help you slow down, ready, aim, fire. Think about how we make decisions before what those decisions are. Because if you're motivated, you'll figure it out, but you usually do need some help, mm-hmm. right? I talked earlier about brand therapy. And what's the point of therapy? It's kind of just talking to yourself, but sometimes it helps if someone is there to ask other questions.
Yeah.
So we do offer brand therapy for clients like that. Mm-hmm. And the point is not to create a new visual identity, communication hierarchy, tactics, and strategy. It centers around the realization that they're not at the starting line yet. Mm-hmm. They're not ready. Can I put you on the spot and ask you another question?
Sure.
What's the number one objection in B2B sales?
Besides the fact that I don't have the money.
What have people told you when they say no?
I think with whatever they say, it's just that they're fear. It's fear-based. They're not ready. They're scared and they don't trust. It's a whole thing. They don't trust that I'm the one that can provide them with that solution yet.
So I agree with you, Shannon. So the way I would say it is the number one objection in B2B sales is you're right, but we're not ready. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, I think about, okay, can't be more right. I have to find a way to help them just be more ready.
Yeah. And how do you do that?
We do that with brand therapy, mm-hmm. right? And we come into that work with the understanding that we're not making anything. We're spending time to figure out how to make decisions, to get ready, to get ourselves to the starting line. And what do we need to do that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we start with the idea they had in their mind when they came to us and we workshop it. Okay, let's follow this all the way down the end of the rabbit hole to see what it's going to look like. And I don't have to tell them it was a bad idea. They can see it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we engage in some SWOT. And then maybe we bring in their value compass to talk about really what they need out of their brand and their life. And we're trying to facilitate their ability to make the right next decision for themselves.
Yeah, because you brought up two really good points there, SWOT. I hate SWOT. I mean, you have to do it. Don't get me wrong. It's just not my favorite activity of strategy and planning, because there is a lot of gray area in that. What you're talking about is you're talking about the process and all of that work that you have to do before you even open your company. But a lot of business owners, small business owners, don't do that because they don't know how to do it. They don't know that they're supposed to do it. Business plan, what's that? And a lot of times people go, oh, business plan, that's just a waste of time. Well, it's not in that. It's helping you to understand where you fit in that marketplace. Where are you going to position yourself? How are you going to solve such and such a problem? What about the landscape of your competitors and your audience and your, where are you going to get those customers from? And you know, it's all of that kind of stuff. But a lot of times small business owners, especially people that were kind of forced into self-employment, they don't have that education. So when you're doing that kind of stuff, you're really being more of a business coach, a business analyst, or not analyst, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think SWAT is not necessarily fun, and it carries some connotation, and some people hate it. A lot of people are just like, what do you mean? I try to come at it from an approach of a helpful friend, mm-hmm. right? And you shouldn't care about SWAT objectively if you're listening to this episode. I think the reason that SWAT is valuable is that it allows people like us to help you play to your strengths, avoid playing to your weaknesses, and really understand what are the one or two things that could kill you at any given moment. Mm-hmm. And some people do a really good job of SWAT coming out of the gate, but things change. The market changes. COVID changed it all.
Yeah.
And it's not about doing SWAT. It's about the conversation that can happen after. Mm-hmm.
And once you know more about your business and the industry and where you fit and how you're going to position your brand, what's the next step that you would think? Like, for me, it's okay, let's figure out your values. Let's really dive deep into those values so we can start telling value-based brand stories as you move forward. At least you start with something.
Yeah. So in my experience, unfortunately, Shannon, most people aren't coming to us because they're brand strategy enthusiasts too. People are coming to us because they're having some pain. There's tension. It's not going the way it's supposed to be going. And they're not buying brand strategy because brand strategy is just the thing. They're coming to us to help engineer the right solution, and brand strategy is how we do that. So where we really like to start with our clients is what I call reverse engineering the desired outcome. Mm-hmm. What is it? How will we know that this has worked? You're coming to us saying we need an update on visual identity, a new website, and X, Y, and Z digital marketing tactics. Awesome. Great. How will we know that worked?
Yeah.
What is that desired outcome? Let's start there and work backwards, because ultimately I think about investing in my own brand kind of the same way I think about playing poker, right?
Okay. I'm not a poker player, so you're going to have to help me out with that one.
Basically we want to talk in objective terms about what is this investment going to look like and what is it going to need to return to our business. So in the poker world, I would think about how many chips are in that pot. How big is it really? And let's say there's $100 million in that pot. It's not, I mean, $100 million ain't what it used to was, right? What kind of bet am I willing to make to rake those chips? It can't be 90 million. That wouldn't be very efficient. Mm-hmm. But I really do have to think about making a bet on my brand. And when I think about it in those ways, okay, what is the budget? How are we going to best use that to get us to the next step so that we can make an action plan that takes us from where we are now to where we want to be? So the fancy term for this is gap analysis and prioritization. Mm-hmm. There's always too much to fix, and that's never going to go away. That's just the nature of running any type of business.
Oh, don't I know it? I'm constantly trying to fix my website. I go, oh, great, I got this page done. And then a week later, it's like, oh, damn it, I got to fix it.
So let's really understand the gap between where we are and where we want to be. Let's understand all of the things that lie within that gap And just let's be intentional about focusing on those top three priorities, mm-hmm. right? Marketing is about, branding is usually about less, not more. Most clients, they have the story, it's within them. But what we want to do is just hack away the weeds so you can see the rest of the house.
Yeah. It's not all those details that you think are important because you're too emotionally attached to your story.
So a lot of times, Shannon, we think about not what is the whole story, but what is just that right first thing to say.
Exactly. Tell the right story to the right audience at the right time.
So I think about communication and branding and marketing the same way I think about dating. When I was single, I was living in downtown Denver. And at that time I was working as a photographer and I did a lot of portrait photography. And I was at a cocktail party and someone came over and they said, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "I shoot people." And they said, "What do you mean?" And it's just in that moment, yes. Right? So when we talk about fear-based communication, we're saying too much, we're over-pursuing the conversation and we're conditioning that person to keep backing away from us because they know we're just going to keep coming at them.
I appreciate what you're saying because what you were saying is I shoot people. I went to a singles evening last weekend and I started talking to this one guy and all of a sudden he starts telling me about the trouble he's having with his son and his daughter and his wife. And, you know, we're in this big room with all of these people and this noise and it's a woe is me story. I'm the victim. And he's going on about something his son did. And I'm sitting there going, that's nothing. Like, you should hear my story, buddy. This is nothing. You don't have a problem. But what it comes down to is too much information. Too much information was coming at me, but not only that, it was the wrong way to tell it. Because when I tell the story of what my son was like and what he did, I use humor. I wear it as a badge of honor. I feel privileged that he put me through all this stuff. It's a totally different tone and different voice and different outcome. Because people are laughing when I tell people that my son used to loan my car to his friend after I went to bed and got pulled over for a DUI and my car got impounded for a couple of days. You know, these are stories that they're funny. They can be funny, but it's how you tell them. And that will determine whether or not you connect with your audience or whether your audience is going to back away. And the first minute somebody comes talks to them, you grab onto them and say, "Yeah, here, let me show you where to go," right? Because you don't want to talk to that person anymore. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be you. And what do you mean you shoot people? What do you mean?
So and when you
into the question.
That's right. That's right. So when you say that right first thing and then you stop talking, it forces them to lean in. You not only do you have my attention, but you have my permission.
Because you were talking to me about how you help people. It is really important for them to understand that there is a process, understanding their business, understanding their story before they get to that starting line. When they're at the starting line, what does that look like? How would they know that they're at the starting line?
They know they're there because they have certainty about their intention. They've separated the coulds from the shoulds. We're not trying this. We're committed to it. Mm-hmm. And my example is logo development. Creating a great mark is really hard, and usually because it gets worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really practice design evolution here. We start everything in black and white, pen and paper. Let's identify the right concept. Let's look at all of the concepts. You know, I believe the path to good creative is through the trash bin, mm-hmm. right? Before the first ship was created, the first shipwreck was created. Yeah. So let's say no to everything and yes to the right things. And we've got the right concept. You know, we know why. We're clear about how we've made this choice, about why this is the right thing. Mm-hmm. But now we have to commit and be intentional about seeing it through, because the first digital renderings aren't going to be wonderful, but we're going to stick with it and we will get to the end. And that's the point.
And it takes time and it evolves. What do you think about the trend right now with brand big within the big name brands kind of all beginning to look the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people are getting it right and other people are being derivative about it. But my style and my preference is very Bauhaus. It's very influenced by Bill Birnbach. If you haven't heard of Bill Birnbach, Google Levy's, L-E-V-Y-S, Levy's Bread, Bill Birnbach. The tagline was, you don't have to be Jewish to love Levy's. And it was like a young Black kid, a Native American, a police officer. And the reason those concepts just crushed is not because they were shouting. Yeah. It's not because they were shiny. They were clever and they were true. I think the thing that people get wrong about their own business to business website, people aren't here to buy from you right now. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the buyer's journey.
Yep.
What is the first date? What is the first interaction? Where do your leads come from? For a lot of B2B brands, it's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Maybe the second impression is seeing your profile, your personal profile on LinkedIn. The sixth or the seventh thing they do might actually be to click on your website. And at that point, your job isn't to sell them anything. Mm-hmm. All B2B sales for me is a risk aversion strategy. A business solution isn't something that is going to make my quality of life better. It's usually something that could get me fired if we engage with the wrong people. When we're on the website, you don't have to sell them everything. Just give them the right parts of your story that makes you not seem risky to whoever else has to legislate this decision before you get a check. Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about the bigger businesses, the corporations, there is a process. And it is a long process to get from first brand awareness to trusting enough to buy, because there's so many committees. We need to get three quotes. We need to look at three different people. There's a fear-based decision-making process, because you're right. They're scared that they'll get fired if they make the wrong decision.
It's usually not about being clever. I enjoy being clever. My kids tell me I'm not funny, but I keep trying. In B2B, for me, it's not about being clever, but it's an empathetic perspective on that other person's responsibility to their team. And what can I do? What can I put in their hand so that when they run this up the flagpole, they're getting a pat on the back and a good job? Mm-hmm. Right? That's the goal. And it's more about risk and it's less about personality, I think. And the lesson isn't complicated. It's curiosity, it's empathy, it's just kind of caring about what that person's world is like and understanding it and, you know, really trying to do things that are helpful to them. Mm-hmm. I think about trying to protect those people.
Yeah.
I think about not trying to write the favor scope of work and do it on the cheap for a friend, knowing that if we get this wrong, their job is in danger. Things, I have to price things for what they really cost so that we can show up and do the work correctly. Mm-hmm.
And that's an important factor, an extremely important factor. Maxwell, thank you so much for muddling through today with all the technical issues that we've had. But thank you so much for turning up today. And I got one question for you, or another question for you. Where can people find you? Because I know that there are going to be some people out there who are interested in what you've talked about today and want to know more information.
Yeah, definitely. So easiest way to get a hold of me personally is through our website at brandwolf.com. That is BrandWolfe.com. You can also get to know me a little bit more by listening to our podcast, which is called Branding for the Rest of Us. The first season is out now. And you can also track me down personally on LinkedIn, Max Gerson. You can find me through the website. If you're curious, let's chat. If you're in pain, let's talk about some brand therapy.
Yeah, because I think that you definitely have that level of knowledge and are able to dive deeper into those issues that a lot of people can't see because they're in the middle of the forest or they don't even think to look for those problems. All they know is that they can't move forward. People aren't reacting the way that they want them to react. They're not showing up. They're not creating the impact that they think that they're creating or want to create. And you definitely have shown that you know exactly what that means, what that looks like, and why that might be occurring. I encourage all my listeners to go over to brandwolf.com, check it out, see what's there. Definitely listen to their podcast. And how did you come up with Brand Wolf?
Left up to my own devices, the name for this company was going to be called Brand Sauce. Like, we just need to pour some sauce on your brand. Oh my God, I cringe. I still cringe. And I met with one of my dear friends and a designer who did a lot of work with us and for us early on, Jeff Thomas at JuiceWorks. And he said, well, let's just talk about your first project, because before there was Brand Wolf, we had clients. Mm-hmm. Our business was born out of demand, not intentionality, which created its own problems. But he said, let's just talk about the project that we just completed, which was for Blue Water Performance, one of the brands and the projects that launched us. Thank you, Gabe. And we went through it and he said, dude, you're a fixer. You're Winston Wolf. If you're curious, our brand values are give, solve, protect. And there's a specific character behind each of those values. I'm super proud of our brand values. They're really meaningful. They show up in every conversation, every hour of the day. And if you want to learn more about them, go to the website and check it out. We've got some really cool custom artwork on there. Yeah, I'm proud of my brand. Shannon, I'm proud of your brand. And to all the listeners that are out there, I just want to, again, remind you that Shannon has created this community and she cares about helping you. She cares about educating you. You care about showing up and listening. Share this podcast with someone that needs to see what you can see. Spread the word. And it's been just a wonderful, energizing conversation for me. Shannon, what an honor. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Maxwell. I mean, I was looking forward to this and you did not let me down at all. In fact, pleasantly impressed with your amount of knowledge and what you have to offer people. So this is really great. So thank you very much. Listener, I hope that you learned something today. I know I did. Let me know what you learned. Send me a message at shannon@shannonpeel.com. I encourage you to head over to brandwolf.com and check out their site and see all the artwork and the stories that go along with it. And don't forget, listener, to drop on over to marketappeal.com, click on Brand Appeal, and download the Brand Appeal ebook to get started on defining your brand story. Until next time, peel out.